Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination on KYMN from Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for listening to the show that celebrates creating and stories. Let's get ready and tune our imaginations together. Today, we're going to start with, it's your birthday. What if every day were your birthday? Sometimes I wake up and I'm so glad that I get to have another birthday. Each day seems to bring more wonders, if I'm looking. Wonders that are amazing and wonders that are, what the heck is this? There are so many oohs and ahs out there. Real wonders, imagined wonders, silly wonders. It's a zany life, isn't it? And are you looking out for those wonders? Maybe that's what a birthday is or should be about, a celebration of the wonders of the day. Or do I mean a year? Why is it that some days feel like a year and other times a whole year can feel like, oh, what is it that a day feels like compared to a year? Maybe a rock skipping across the water. It's here, joyfully moving along an impossible line, and then it's not there. The skipping is done. We're over there, and then we're here. Oh my, here we go again. Another birthday? When do we stop counting? We are certain of our single digits in our preteen years, even the fractions of a year. We must count those slivers of each wonder year, 5 3/4, or 10 5/12. What makes us forget the fractions? What if we lose track of years? Are we designed to forget as the years add up? Have you made this mistake of not remembering? I did this just the other day, or was it last month? I can't remember. Someone asked my age, and I confidently said a number, and it sounded right, but it had been so long since I had been asked that question that I think my brain kept working on, what exactly year is it since my birth? It was a few hours later at home, after the evening out, that I remembered, or is it that I finally calculated, or simply put together the story of my birth and realized that I had said a number that was N-1 for my actual age in years. How is it that we can forget one of those years? Or is it that we get stuck at a birthday? Or is it that each day matters more than any given year? What is a birthday? Is a birthday an anniversary? If birthday is the anniversary of your birth, why do we say it's your birthday and not your anniversary? So if anniversary is a celebration or remembrance of an event that happened on that day in the past, should your parents say it's their anniversary day of your birth? Well, it's the same day, but a day in the future. It's a future birthday. But then that's not what it is, because then that becomes about them. And certainly a birthday isn't about them. It's about you. It's your birthday. All of this is to say that today I celebrate the anniversary, or is it the birthday? I don't know, of Art Zany Radio. It was Friday, the 1st of April, 2005, that this show first aired on KYMN. It's been 20 years that we've been together. So I want to thank you, and especially thank KYMN, and thank all of our listeners out there. I say happy anniversary to you, too, because it's your day as well. Happy birthday to all, because I think it's a wonder that we get to be together for this day. And thank you. I really do want to thank you. And I especially want to thank my number one fan, my mom, because I know she's listened to every show. And she might be the only other person on earth that has listened to every Art Zany Radio and been there for every day of my life, all my birthdays and all of our anniversaries. So what a ride this zany life is. And I'm really happy to be here celebrating with everybody. Happy Zany Day. Here's to more zaniness. Today in the Art Zany Radio Studio, I have a great show. This is the perfect show to celebrate. When I saw this was coming, I was just thrilled to be able to put this show together. We booked this show months in advance because I was so excited. We've got the director, Will McIntyre, costume designer, Abby Enbrecht. Did I say that correctly?
Yep.
I forgot to ask you ahead of time. And Cody Jensen, all from the Paradise Center for the Arts production of Tick, Tick, Boom. And if you don't know this show, oh, you're ready for a treat. This is a hit musical by Jonathan Larson of Rent fame that takes us through his musical theater journey and reminds us to hold on to our dreams. Get information at paradisecenterforthearts.org/theater or just on the homepage. You can click on the button and you can get all those details. But before you buy your tickets, wait, we might have some special news for you. So hold on to your hats. This show opens up tonight. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I see smiles, so that's a good thing. Let's get going. Let's talk about it. Why don't you introduce yourselves to our audience? Let's start with you, Will. You've been here a couple times. I'm so excited to have you back. And I think I've mentioned to this. I don't remember if I mentioned it on air, but you're a director I trust. And I love a director that I know whatever you're doing, I can go to, and it's going to be incredible.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you. That's very sweet.
It's true. Because everything I've seen of yours, I've just been like, how did you do that? That's so amazing. Incredible. So tell me a little bit. Remind our listeners who you are and a little bit about your theater life.
Sure. Yeah. I'm Will McIntyre. I am directing Tick, Tick, Boom, but I also work at the Paradise Center for the Arts as well.
Some of the other shows you directed at the Paradise.
At the Paradise, I've been the resident music director for our children's theater program. This will be my fifth year doing it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's fast.
Yeah, right? last summer, I music directed Crazy for You, and then I also did If Then,
which
Fall
turned out to
23.
Be one of my favorites. I've never knew anything about it, and I just this is so amazing.
I think that was the first time I met you, too, on the radio for that one.
Yes, so just really brilliant. Wonderful. You're doing amazing things down at the Paradise. So,
Thank you.
Excited to have you here, and you brought along a few of your friends from the show.
Yep.
Let's jump in. Who wants to go next? Okay, there.
Hi, my name is Cody Jensen. I'm playing Jonathan Larson in Tick, Tick, Boom, and
welcome.
I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your theater background, musicals, dramas, all of it.
Yeah, I kind of dabble in everything. I've really been doing musicals probably the last several years, but I actually started with plays right out of college, I think. I didn't really do anything in high school. But started a little bit later, in my early 20s, and started with plays because I wasn't really confident about singing in front of people. That was a whole thing. But I'm glad I got my feet wet with plays because that gave me a lot of confidence just being in front of people and speaking. And then I decided to try and do some musicals, and that went really well, and I loved it every minute of it. So I think I'm getting close to this being like maybe my 30th. Production actually.
Oh wow.
Which is incredible. Super incredible and amazing, and I've been really, really lucky and thankful to play a lot of amazing parts and just to be with a lot of talented casts and creative teams. And this is no different. This project has been absolutely amazing. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but this project in itself is just really important to me too. So
it's terrific. Let's start way back because it's really interesting to me that you didn't do, theater in high school, but then after college, what was it that you said, I'm going to try this? Or who got you to audition? What gave you that courage? Because that's that's kind of a big step.
Yeah, it is a really big step. And it's kind of funny. What actually led me to giving theater a shot was Jonathan Larson, in a sense. So Rent was the first musical that I ever listened to. I was either 12 or 13. My mom bought me and my older brother the soundtrack for Rent. And my brother would just drive around. We would drive around in his car and I'd sit in the passenger seat and we would listen to Rent. Like on our way to school, after school, just whenever we would listen to it.
Okay, I gotta ask: CD, cassette?
CD.
Okay.
Yes. Very good question. CD. Yes. And I just fell in love with the music. And then, asking a lot of questions both to my brother and my mom and them explaining like this isn't a movie, right? It's like it's a show that happens on stage with actors and actresses. And that idea just seemed really cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
And just growing up, obviously, kind of like my teens, I struggled with a lot of confidence stuff. And I just kind of had my eyes set on different things. And it wasn't until graduating high school and then kind of in the middle of my college era where I was like, you know what? I kind of want to just give this a shot and see how this goes. And it didn't happen until like one day I was like walking some hall and a new college that I was at, RCTC actually in Rochester. I walked past their theater and they had auditions for, I think it was Ramona Quimby.
Yes.
And yay. I'm like, oh, okay, that seems, I don't know, whatever. And, then I was like taking kind of, I forgot the class name, but it was like a mix of like acting and some kind of like speaking.
Mm.
And I was in this class and I met two of my like still very good best friends today, and they did a lot of theater and they kind of pulled me into auditioning for Ramona Quimby, and I ended up playing the dad and like just taking it like so seriously, and it was just like the most serious thing ever, and it's just like a kid's show and it's like super light and goofy and silly, but I loved it. And that was 14 years ago now.
That's, I love those moments when, like, you just, everything lined up. Mm-hmm. You were in the right place at the right time. And but yet there are some, you know, steps that you took to getting, to building up to that, that you initiated with listening to the music and asking questions and being curious about that.
Yeah.
Rent was the very first musical that I ever saw, a Broadway show. And I also just instantly was in love and obsessively listened to that music because it's just that good. So this is another one from Jonathan Larson, which we'll learn a little bit more. But first we got to hear from Abby, who's here too. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your theater world and about your role, because I'm very excited to feature that on the show.
Yeah, I'm Abby. I am the costumer for Tick, Tick, Boom. I also help out backstage. This is actually my first time costuming for a show. I absolutely love it. I love clothes. I've always loved clothes and fashion and just analyzing that throughout time. So I'm really grateful for Will to giving me this opportunity. And actually, I have been doing theater for years. That's actually where I first met Will, was doing a theater camp.
It's true. We're like 1 year apart, so we did a theater camp.
Like a summer camp? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, there's a movie there.
I've been doing theater for years. I'm primarily a musical person. I love musicals. I've done 3 shows at the Paradise. This is my 4th show, and I'm my first time being a costumer, and I absolutely love it.
I gotta wonder if this is one of those moments where like things might take off for you in that costuming, and we'll give you that
like,
opportunity.
There's always a demand for costumers.
Yes.
I think so.
It's very possible. So, so let's talk a little bit about the show. Well, when did you know that like I have the ability to put this on at the Paradise? Like the things are right. How does a director decide, or maybe the Paradise has a theater committee?
Yeah,
I'm not sure
it's a little bit of both.
Okay,
they kind of ask directors to bring a few shows in if you're interested, and then they kind of pitch them to the committee, kind of. Allow them to have an input, like, do you think this would go over well here? Do you think this would sell? That's also a factor that goes into it. But I brought in a list of, like, 8 shows, I think, and Tick, Tick, Boom was toward the top of the list just because it's a show that can be as small as you want or as big as you want. And I think we went a little bit more on the bigger side because it's typically performed as more of a staged concert. It's usually not like a full blown production.
I didn't realize this. So just more like a where someone might just play through the songs.
Right. And kind of just sit and sort of monologue. And they're still acting, obviously, but it's not quite as full production. But when you come and see ours, it's blocking, choreography. It's everything. So
I didn't realize. That's fun to have that flexibility then. Mm-hmm. And you knew you had the cast because putting some of these roles, that you know, iconic roles, you have to cast the right person.
Right, yeah.
And that would be you. So tell us a little how you knew that you wanted to audition, because this is a big role. This is a... Mm-hmm. You're on the... I bet you're on the stage for almost the entire
thing. He doesn't leave.
Yeah, you're stuck.
I'm on the stage the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about your audition and what, you know, you decided that this now was the time for you to do that.
Yeah. I'll try and be brief. It's kind of a long story, honestly. But obviously, and initially, the main reason I knew I wanted to audition for this show was that it's this obvious connection to Jonathan Larson, who I love so passionately because of Rent. And I'm where I am today because of him and the music that he wrote, honestly. So getting the chance not only to be in another show of his, but to actually portray him was just kind of like no question for me. and just a big hope and a huge dream that I actually didn't even realize could be a thing until I learned that this was a show and that it was in a movie, and that was a few years ago. but since then, I was just like, oh my gosh, if I ever got the opportunity to do that, I would be just through the roof. So once I found out there were auditions, I knew I had to be there for that. There was some kind of reluctance a little bit because I've been through a bit of a journey in the last 6 months. In October, I was actually diagnosed with lung cancer. And a few weeks after that, I had a quarter of my lung taken out. So I am just shy of 6 months of recovery from my lobectomy. And I think around audition times, it was maybe 3 months after my surgery. So I was extremely nervous and anxious. Obviously, you know, my breath support. Yeah, there's just a lot of things that kind of fundamentally changed there.
I was going to ask, like, how you move and sing and maybe how you sound is all... Are there big adjustments?
Yeah, there have been some really big adjustments. Luckily, I feel like I had enough time prior to the auditions and just in rehearsal time to really figure out what those differences were. Not only with breath support, but just even just how I'm placing different notes. And there's a lot of things that changed with this.
What a journey, my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
Unexpected.
extremely unexpected. But, you know, super thankful, right, too. Like, not a lot of people could be sitting here today that receive that type of news. So while it's been scary and it's been hard, I'm just extremely grateful to be here and to have this opportunity so quickly after something so life-changing for me.
I wonder if that, and I, you don't have to answer this, but my thought was that that has to be part of the healing. Like, I would imagine that knowing that you could possibly do this was motivating, because you could have gone down a different rabbit hole of, you know, deep sadness and like, I can't believe this is happening to me. But instead, you know, you're out there, you're putting yourself out there and you're trying this and you're trying to make it work. I think that's an amazing, again, another one of those timing moments.
Yep. You're completely spot on with that, right? Because for a few months I was doing that. I was taking that bit of a darker path and just, you know, I don't want to use the word, you know, like I'm playing the victim, but I was kind of playing the victim, right? But for what reason? Even though I've received this crazy news, but like, I'm still alive.
Yes.
And I'm still here, and I have all these things that I could be doing if I wanted to do. So I did that for a while, and I laid around. I didn't do anything. I cried, you know, whatever, all of those things, right? But then I was like, this is an opportunity to kind of get myself back on a path that just is a little more me, and it's a little more filled with hope and passion, and just the perfect time to do that with a composer that I just feel like this very special connection to. So the timing of this was just impeccable. Scary, but also wonderful.
Wow. Well, we're thrilled to have you, and absolutely, I cannot wait to see your performance, because I can tell you're going to bring that heart, right? And that connection is genuine with Jonathan Larson and his story and his music, and that's going to be pretty phenomenal. So I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. That's a big deal. So another dimension, right? Theater can do so much. It's just an amazing world. And Abby, for you, I want to ask just, you mentioned this was the first time being in charge of costuming. So what were you thinking about, you know, when you got that role, and, you know, how are decisions made? Because with a director, you have an era, you get to set it in, and then you have the characters, and there's things mm-hmm. that have been done. Do you go look or not look? What? Tell me about that process of working together to get things visually on the stage for the characters.
Yeah. I am super grateful to Will that he sort of let me take the reins with this. I also had a lot of help from someone who's done costuming for The Paradise a lot, Julie Longshore. She was super helpful in helping me like figure out, okay, where do I start with this? And it was essentially watching the movie over and over and over again, on a random Saturday, not a random Saturday, but, maybe a couple weeks into the rehearsal process. Mm-hmm. And a lot of inspiration from the movie. Of course, there's a Pinterest board out there somewhere with a lot of my ideas in it. I was also obsessed with the show Friends growing up. Mm. And again, sort of set in that same era, same place. And so a lot of inspiration from that. It was a lot of, and I think the other big thing with this is, it's meant to be more of a concert production. And we are staging this, with six people. And so, a lot of figuring out, okay, who is on stage when, and what scene are they in? What do I want them wearing? And figuring out sort of how to make it all work, because they're really quick scene changes.
It's very fast paced.
People are on stage almost all the time. And so I had all these ideas of, okay, I want them looking like this in this scene and this in this scene. And it was sort of paring down, okay, I want them to look like this during all these different scenes. How can I get them a base of something where, 'cause a lot of our actors are also changing characters. Cody's the only one that doesn't change character throughout the entire show.
I noticed that in the cast list that there's mm-hmm. and others.
Susan and others. Michael and others. Yep.
And so also figuring out how can I make each of these characters distinct. Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of analyzing each scene at a time and figuring out, okay, we're going to have this base that they sort of wear throughout the entire show. What can I add and take away? What can they wear over top of that to make them distinct for this moment? But also, if they're just a character in a different time and place, how can I tie that back into what they were wearing before? But like Cody never leaves the stage, and so I'm probably handing him a costume piece every other scene, but it's you know, things like simply taking off a flannel, putting on a suit jacket, putting on a coat, and making those little things work.
Well, and I was going to say one thing I think people don't realize when they do a show, like the costumes are all made for that person, right? To fit, to or sometimes to have quick change options, mm-hmm. That they're not just things you take off the shelf. You're customizing each of these pieces to make sure that they work for that person. Mm-hmm. You don't know who that person is until until the show is cast.
Right. Yeah.
So it limits your time to be able to get that done.
Yeah. I also think we're lucky because it's very clear when it's set and you kind of have an idea. It's 1990 New York City. So it's like you kind of have to picture all of that coming together. It's unlike productions where, you know, this play can be set 20 years ago, it could be set now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice having more, like, you have to decide because it is based certain time, certain place.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I was just thinking about that's when I was working for a company that I traveled to New York all the time. Mm-hmm. I was in New York about that exact time. But then if you asked me what were we wearing, I'm thinking, well, because I used to wear, I came from the Midwest and I had like a red suit jacket mm-hmm. and a purple suit jacket. And people would always ask me, why are you wearing that color? Because they were black. Everything was black mm-hmm. all the time. Yeah. And so but the details of it, you wouldn't know. So it's a good thing we have those mm-hmm. reference points like Friends or mm-hmm. movies or things where you can go back.
And the other really nice thing is 90s fashion is coming back. So <It's true. laughs> no! So while figuring out the costume changes and the complexity of that was a really big detail, so much of the costumes came from the actors' own closets.
or the things I donated just the other year. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I got rid of all those suits because I'm like, I'm never wearing one of those again. But it's so much fun. It makes the show come to life, mm-hmm. I think. And we got to say, folks, we're talking about Tick, Tick, Boom at the Paradise Center for the Arts. I'm here with Will McIntyre, the director, Cody Jensen, the actor, and Abby Engbricht, the costumer for this production, which is very exciting. And you were going to mention to us, if folks, because hopefully they're already thinking, I got to get tickets to this.
I hope so, yes. Yeah.
So tell us what's going on. There's some special tickets.
Mm-hmm. So for the entire run of Tick, Tick, Boom, we're offering BOGO, buy one, get one free tickets to anyone who wants to come see it. Wow. Just because, you know, it's a show that people aren't very familiar with. We want to invite them, give them a chance to come see it, and then they can tell their friends how wonderful it is, I hope. And
yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think the Paradise has ever done that for the entire run. Maybe
not for the entire run, correct. Maybe one show or the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're really just trying to get these seats full because this cast, this crew, they deserve it. And everyone who comes to see it will enjoy it. Mm-hmm. They'll take something from it that, whether it be the music, whether it be the lighting, if you really like visual spectacle, or the story is very meaningful as well. So, mm-hmm.
Well, and how do people get that special? Because the online, it isn't available if you just do the normal.
Yeah, if you're getting tickets online, unfortunately, you can't do the BOGO deal. But if you give us a call at the Paradise, we're open noon to 5, Wednesday through Friday, and then Saturday 10 to 2. But our box office also opens up prior to the shows. So tickets will be available at the door as well. You can give us a call at 507-332-7372. Or stop in. We would love to see you.
Yes. And or if you just want to support the Paradise and just go online and buy them two at full price, you still can do
it's
that,
true.
Too.
Yeah.
That's option out
We'll appreciate it either way. Yeah. Yep.
So that's really special. And mm-hmm. do you want to mention the reason April is special?
It's my birthday month. It's true. our whole like BOGO campaign was like a birthday bash for me. So...
That's fabulous.
Yeah, very excited.
Yes. And I think we should play this tune from this is the original cast recording of Tick, Tick, Boom. Folks might know this one. I don't know, do we want to say anything first, or are we going to just jump right in and play 3090?
I think the context is just someone, John, is turning 30. It's 1990. That's the reason for the numbers. But sort of hear him grappling with the fear of turning 30 and the anticipation and all of that. Do you guys have anything?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think just like another piece that's so relatable is just youth escaping us mm-hmm. is kind of also like a really big tell, I think, in this song. And I feel like we always, at certain points in our lives, we feel like we're running out of time. And there's just never enough time to do the things we want to do, or, mm-hmm. you know, you want to go this way or you want to go that way and you don't know which way to go. I think that's kind of all what the song is about, too.
And some of you may recognize this, but if this doesn't get you, I don't know what will. So we'll take a listen and hear a little bit of the original Broadway cast recording of Tick, Tick, Boom, 3090.
Shorter. work any longer. Feel like you're treading water, but the riptide's getting stronger. Don't panic, don't jump ship, can't fight it like taxes. At least it happens only once in your life. They're singing happy birthday, just wanna lay down and cry. Not just another birthday, it's 39. Why can't you stay 29? Hell, you still feel like you're 22. 10:30, 1990, bang, you're dead. What can you do? What can you do? What can you do?
Clear the runway, make another pass. Try one more approach before you're out of gas.
Friends are getting fatter, hairs on your head are getting thinner. Feel like a cleanup batter on a team that ain't a winner.
Don't freak out, don't strike out, can't fight it like City Hall.
At least you're not alone, your friends are there too. They're singing happy birthday, just wish you could run away. Who cares about a birthday but 39? Hey, can you be optimistic? You're no longer the ingenue. 10:30, 1990, boom, you're passé. What can you do?
This song goes on and it's incredible. So I want you to go and see the production. We're going to stop it at that. Just an amazing tune. Oh my goodness. And perhaps you've heard it. There's something driving about that beat. There's something just, I don't know. It just, it sticks with you, right? And we were all kind of humming along as it went. I was curious for you, Cody, in learning how, excuse me, to perform.
Yeah. Yep. So I think, fortunately for me, I've had a lot of experience just in community theater for the last 15 years now. And, you know, I've really come into just like knowing the practices that work for me. Practices both in learning my lines, learning music, learning choreography. So kind of despite some of the hurdles that I've had recently, this wasn't really anything too different in terms of getting that, like, that structure. That structure came back to me very quickly. It's actually been about a year and a half since I've done my last show, which was If Then. So there was some rust, you know, that I had to kind of clean off. But I feel like I jumped back into it pretty quick. And it's just repetition for me. For me, it's a lot of repetition. And I need to be in a very silent space to be able to do those things. I find, too, that lines take the most time for me to learn. Music seems to come to me pretty quickly, which is great. Choreography, I would actually say, takes the most time. Very fortunately. Abby's, like, pointing at herself. Fortunately, I don't have to dance too much in the show, and what I do have to dance is pretty easy for me, so it's very, very, I mean, I feel like anyone could do it, honestly. So, and I think that's a lot of just because I'm talking 95% of the show, so all my breath is going there. but so for lines, this was a kind of a beast of a show to tackle, and I didn't quite realize that until we did our read-through, which was kind of like our first rehearsal, and I have, I think, I don't know, like, 8 to 10 just massive monologues. Massive. And I've done a Shakespeare show where I was leading that, and I had some like pretty big monologues in that. This, I think, completely blows that out of the water. So that was a challenge, and that was just taking, like, I'll read a sentence, I'll say that sentence out loud, then I'll do it again without looking at it, and then I'll do the next sentence, and then I'll like go from the beginning and mm-hmm. do it all again, and just like slowly picking it apart and then putting it together.
Yeah, that's a lot of processing.
Yes, yeah.
And I think too, the music, then you also, because people aren't going to be as familiar with the lines, I think, right. which is probably, then if you miss something, we won't know.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. I can just like kind of stammer on and no one will have any idea. It'll be great.
But the music, that is more recognizable. Mm-hmm. And so we'll, in trying to create the show, and you want it to be your version or this cast, but you are, constrained by the, you know, the licensing and the music, yeah, right? You can't go too far outside. Mm-hmm. So how do you, as a director, guide that process of bringing the music to life on the stage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting. Typically, the show's performed three people. I don't know if people know that. It's usually three performers the entire show. And then, but I was like, I think we could add a few because it makes the vocal moments bigger. It fills the room with more sound. We also mm-hmm. have a live band on stage too.
I was going to ask about that, especially in that song. You've mm-hmm. got that. I mean, just,
it is a classic rock band. Yes. It's drums, guitar, bass, piano. It's,
oh, that makes it come mm-hmm. to life in a whole nother way. Right.
Yeah. Right. And I think, obviously, there are limits when licensing any show. The whole licensing process is very, you have a lot of rules to follow, and you follow them.
Yes.
Right? Right. Yeah. But, you know, in creating the music, it's kind of like we had these additional voices, and I was moving some people around to different parts to try to balance it more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the balance is really great. This is one of the best, like, sounding shows, I think, we've had in a really long time, and I don't think we've had a rock show in a long time either. So if people like rock music, come see the show.
right. And there's, and like you mentioned, it's not just the music, which mm-hmm. Is all that I'm familiar with. So I'm excited to see it put on the stage, but there's a story here. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk a little bit about the story. Who wants to jump in and tell us a little bit about where are we? We know we're in New York 90s. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Larson might be a name that's familiar, but this was before Rent.
Correct.
And yep. so he's still on that journey trying to, you know, devote his life to theater and mm-hmm. making all of these, he just keeps trying. He's trying and trying. What else do we know about the setup of the story? They're looking at Cody. Or
Will and I are like looking at each other.
Well, have you talk about the character and then you can talk about the real life, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So I think, again, this story of Jonathan Larson, in this show is really talking about his climb to that level of fame that he's so desperately hoping to achieve, that he does ultimately get to. You don't see it in this show, but in this show, actually, he's working on a musical called Superbia, and it is a very futuristic, also kind of has this rock element that he has been pouring years, 5 years to be exact, of work into, and his own time in his life, his energy, all of his funds, and he's at this point in the show in his life now where it's ready for a workshop in New York City, and he has a cast for that, and kind of the whole show is like leading up to the moment where there's this workshop for mm-hmm. Superbia, and then it's put on, and it's interesting because he's talking about like all of these things, and not knowing like that all these things that he wants, right? But not knowing that what he's about to do is going to get him what he wants, but he doesn't know.
Because he's still struggling, right? Yes, he's in that moment of, and it's so competitive in that, you know, the theaters, it's almost impossible to bring a show to the stage. I mean,
I especially think nowadays, like if it's not a mega movie adaptation of mm-hmm. something, because that's what we see on Broadway now. It's all these mega shows.
You're right.
And it's like, it's kind of a shame. I would rather see something original.
Mm-hmm. A new story, a new voice, a new sound.
Yeah. So,
so I don't want to spoil the ending because the ending is obviously kind of like what makes the whole story so special. But, he has a really, the workshop goes well and he gets some really good news. But that's kind of, and you could speak a little bit more to that, mm-hmm. like historically and you know, factually from Jonathan Larson. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like we've all kind of just captured already, this character is just someone who is working so hard and is kind of, he's feeling forced now to make this decision to pursue passion and creativity and love versus stability and structure and like, you know, financial stability even too, right? Yeah. Which I feel like is another relatable piece to this, this story.
Yeah. And he's turning 30, which was the song that we just listened to, 3090, which is just, to me, as someone who is not 30 anymore, it's pretty amazing to think that a lot can happen after that. And 30 right. is feels young, but you can still have all those same worries and all those same, you know, things that, you know, you wonder, what am I doing? Should I be in this place? Is this the right choice? Yeah. What am I missing?
And comparison to others that have been on similar paths and have accomplished things before they're 30 or before. That's mentioned quite a bit in the show as well. And another thing I kind of wanted to mention is just that the show, that is what the show's mainly about. But then you're also seeing John interact with his girlfriend, his best friend. And you see how the relationships with those people are, you know, altered by his mounting anxiety, by his inability to make these decisions because too much is happening in his life and he can't, you know, devote enough energy to one or the other. Or so, in addition to the fear of time and all of this, it's also you see relationships portrayed on stage that are really vulnerable and raw at the same time. And also set in the 90s, which, yeah.
Yeah, so I think people, no matter what age you are, you'll find something to connect to because...
For sure.
I think at every, you know, marker down on the road of life, you ask some of those same questions, or you put things off or you don't put things off. And because of that, it affects how other things go in your life. And so there's just that's a constant. And so that's a very relatable part of the show. There's a whole lot of things that, you know, just, we talked about the, you know, holding on to your dreams and maybe, you know, kind of figuring out what it means about, you know, having doubts about, is this the right path? So there's all kinds of pieces in the story. Can you tell us through costumes about some of the other characters that are in the show and what we'll see when you come to stage with your costuming?
Yeah.
Some of the iconic 90s clothes.
There's a lot of flannel and plaid in this, which I absolutely love. There's actually a song about one of the costumes, green dress. Absolutely. And actually that was all Heather. That was all her. She brought that in. It was fantastic. Heather, so she plays Susan and then other characters. She is changing pretty much every time she comes on stage. And she was absolutely fantastic to work with because, you know, I had all these ideas in my head of I wanted her to have like all these elaborate costume changes, and in my head I was like, okay, I need to make it so that she can actually change costumes. And so I kind of pared it down so that she wouldn't have to do as much, and she came in and she was like, well, what if we did this? And honestly, it was my costuming dream. I was like, you are taking everything that I had thought and you are finding a way to do it, and it was awesome. My other, I loved costuming Courtney. It was absolutely fantastic. She has some iconic moments.
She's a wide range of characters.
She does.
She probably has the widest range.
One of them being Rosa. That was probably my favorite costume. It's my favorite for the entire show. Because it's this woman who's... like it's this older woman, she's John's agent, and she's clearly stuck in in the ages that came before her. And so I pulled a little bit from the movie version, but the person that helped me costume, Julie, brought in this dress. And to me, it sort of looks like a coat, but it's this bright fluorescent orange. And I went into our costume basement and I was like, okay, what can we add on to this? And so, she just got all these little details, but one of my favorites is these just big 80s glasses. I remember seeing photos of my parents with these glasses, and it's like, there's like a little portion in the bottom, and it's clear that these were made for the stage, because there's a little portion in the bottom that are like just normal lenses,
so you can see
but they're just like these things that distort her eyes. They're huge and I absolutely love them. And she embodies that costume. And then she's got, oh gosh, what's
Judy is like Judy. A focus group leader at a big corporate company.
Oh, that sounds so 80s, 90s. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it is very, so of course this is 1990. So she's got this like 80s pant. It's like this bright blue. It's got the padded shoulders, yeah. The pencil skirt. And it's this awesome. Courtney probably has my favorite costumes. It's because everyone else is just sort of like everyday clothes from the 90s, mm-hmm. but hers I got to have so much fun with.
And that says, you know, we should talk about the fact that the show, it's not just who's up on stage, that what all the things that come ahead of time. And you were mentioning to me how fabulous this cast, crew, and mm-hmm. pit orchestra is.
Yeah.
So tell us who else we should highlight.
Yeah, I think one of our biggest highlights is our lighting, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dylan Weiss, he's been my light designer for every production I've done.
Oh, wow.
He did Spelling Bee at Little Theater of Owatonna. He brings in his own lighting instruments. I don't think he's using almost any of the lighting equipment we have at the Paradise. It's all, you know, electric. It's all moving lights. It's LEDs. And I think people will be blown away by the lighting alone.
It can make a huge difference to the show and the experience. So I want everybody listening who goes to the show, pay attention to those things, because mm-hmm. there are hours of work that go into mm-hmm. each of those elements.
Yeah.
And without them, the show doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a video online you've posted of mm-hmm. him putting
right.
together the light racks.
Yep, he was hanging the lights and setting things up. And that was actually a few weeks ago. So he's been working on it since that video. So
mm-hmm.
you can imagine how much time and effort he's put into it, and it's paid off.
That's exciting. That's super exciting to hear. I see our time is running low. I can't believe it. We're having so much fun. This is Tick, Tick, Boom. If you don't know the show, the music is incredible. And this is the setting at the Paradise Center for the Arts. You can go to paradisecenterforthearts.org/theater to get all those details. As we mentioned, the tickets are available online, but the special, buy one, get one free,
right. Yep.
Like, wow. For birthday, we'll just call it that, is something that you can go directly to the box office, or
yes,
give us that phone number again.
Yep, you can contact us via phone or stop in, and our phone number is 507-332-7372,
and that's 12 to 5 mm-hmm. Wednesday through,
and if you give us a call, we'll call you back if we miss you. So
perfect.
Yep,
so somebody's there to get that deal for you. What else should we know about the show? What have we missed? What do we need to talk about? What some of the parts that you're most excited to share with an audience, and anything that I was also curious, because I would imagine that these, so you can take either one of these, just this topic probably brings up some big conversations as you're getting to know these characters. Mm-hmm. And so I suspect it's the kind of show that you're going to want to go out for a drink of coffee afterwards and mm-hmm. have a conversation.
Yeah.
So either share what you're excited about or some of the conversations you've been thinking about.
Yeah. I think I'll leave my last note on. This show is, I think, something that is very much needed right now in just the climate that we are all in at the moment. And I think it's just going to be something that can touch every single person that comes to see this. No matter what your background is, no matter what you like, no matter what your interests are, this this show is just, it's very, very special. The music is special. The lighting is special. The story is special. The characters, every piece of work that's been put into this is incredible. So my testament here is everyone needs a break. Everyone needs a vacation. Everyone needs to be able to step back and get out of their lives for even just an hour and a half to 2 hours, which I think is what the range of this time falls under. You won't regret it. You'll be able to escape. You'll be able to come listen to some incredible music, see some really talented people do what they love to do, and probably, hopefully, just take something away, right? And maybe even having some of the creativity give some spark to your life, if people are looking for that type of creative charge. It's not a show to miss.
I would agree with that. That's pretty great. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Will, how about
you? I totally agree. I think for me, what draws me to stories and storytelling is the relatability from characters and seeing them interact, seeing them live their lives and being able to relate to them and sort of see how they grapple with issues or happiness even, or all of those things. So I think come see this to see yourself, your loved ones, your friends represented on stage, and you'll just leave, you know, fulfilled and inspired, I think, not by just the talent, but the story as well.
It's a big show, and there's a lot in it that you just sometimes you just need to see it live, right? Because even listening to the music, the story doesn't come across the same way.
Exactly. Yep.
So that's an important part. Abby, what are you looking forward to?
There's a moment in the show where John is singing about his life experience with his best friend, who is now sick. And I remember sitting in the audience and watching Cody sing that the first time. It felt like it was really coming together. I was sitting in the audience to just think through some more costume stuff. And I have had a very personal experience where I was very young, and I had a friend diagnosed with a condition that essentially meant she would die before me. She was my best friend, and it just, seeing Cody perform that moment brought me back to my little sixth grade self, who was fearing for my best friend, but also remembering all the moments we had spent together. And the theme that we've talked about of life feeling so short, feeling like you need to do everything, not knowing if this is actually the path that you are meant to be on. I find it so relatable, and I know that is not a singular experience. There's so much emotion and love in all its forms in this show, and I think it is just so absolutely wonderful and special to be a part of it, and just to get to see it every night. I get to be back there and watch it, and it's a wonderful experience.
I know, it's my treat now. I just get to watch.
Yeah, you're part, because tonight is
it is
opening.
My birthday every night now. So.
That's right. Yeah, tonight is opening night. Tick Tick Boom. I think this is going to be something that, like you said, you won't want to miss. Like, don't pass this one up. It is. I didn't even give the dates. It's for two weekends, right?
Yes.
April 4th, 5th, and 11th and 12th. That's a 7:30 evening show, and then April 6th and 13th, which are the Sundays, there's a 2 p.m. Performance for a matinee, and the April 4th, that's tonight, is their ASL interpretation.
Yes. Yep.
So so that's set, so if you need that service, then you should contact the box office and make sure you get a ticket where you can see that. Just incredible. I'm so excited for everybody to be putting this together. I know you've been working a long time on this, so it's really fun to see it all come together. Great to meet you. I want to thank you all for being here. Will Abby and Cody, I hope it's a successful run. I can't wait to see it. We'll see you at the Paradise.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. This is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for being a part of the show. Go have a good birthday, and always remember to add some Art Zaney to your life. In the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zaney is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. 7372.